I can very well remember what it means to be a skeptic. I was a skeptic myself until I saw. There's nothing like having seen two UFOs yourself to turn you from a skeptic to, I don't know, a very inquisitive person, let me put it that way. I doubt you go from skeptic to believer. Maybe a third type encounter would do that for you. I don't know. You know, actual contact of some sort. But having two very close encounters will turn you from a skeptic to a person who has a hell of a lot of questions. And that's what happened to me. And so tonight we're going to be talking about UFOs, mostly all night, in a moment with Bob White, and then coming up with David Sirita. And so I just thought I'd mention that at the top of the show. I was one of you, many of you, who are skeptics with regard to UFOs until it happened to me twice. And that really does change your worldview on things. And I guess that's the only way I can beg your understanding with regard to any discussion of UFOs. Bob White, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks a lot, Art.
Welcome. It's good to have you. I read your story, actually, last night on the air, Bob.
I know.
But there's nothing like getting the story from the person that it happened to. That'd be you. So I thought it would be great to have you on and just have you. I mean, there's quite a story behind all this. Why don't you start from the beginning and tell me about what happened?
Well, I was always a skeptic like you, like you were. And that was the furthest thing from my mind was anything about UFOs. My career was in show business and music. And I was in Denver, Colorado, and we were to open a new club there called King Cole. And this was in, as near as I can figure, 1985.
Mm-hmm.
And the club hadn't been completely remodeled yet, and we were going to have about 3 days off. My brother and I, we did a musical comedy duo. And I wanted to take a few days off and go to Vegas. And we only had one car, and my brother didn't want to go. So we left the car with him, and I was going to take a bus, and I met this young lady at the hotel, and she said, I live in Vegas. I'm going back there tonight. If you would like to ride along with me, you're welcome.
Oh, well, there's an offer.
Yeah, so I did. And I was asleep. She was driving in her car, and we left Denver, and I was asleep. It was an evening. And it was really, really nice air. It had been hot all day.
Where were you roughly?
Well, when she woke me up, we were outside of Grand Junction.
Okay.
East of Grand Junction.
Right.
And she asked me what this light was up ahead. Well, there was a railroad track on the right-hand side of the road. And when I first saw the light, it was small.
This would be about what time of morning?
About 2 o'clock in the morning.
2 in the morning.
And no traffic, and it's a nice clear night, you know, and you can see forever even without headlights. But our headlights were on. But what I told her was I thought it was a railroad light, and I went back to sleep. Now, the light must have been doing some pretty strange things because she woke me up again, and she was just terrified.
She was still stopped or had still been...
No, she was driving. She was still driving.
She was still driving, all right.
And she woke me up again. She said, that's not a railroad light. And I looked, and sure enough... I don't know if you've ever seen the sun when it was going down, and it's a bright, bright red.
Sure.
It was about that size.
Oh.
And I said, yeah, you're right.
So about the size of the sun. Okay.
And I said, I'll stay awake and watch this thing. Well, as we got closer, we rounded a curve in the highway, and the light turned out to be on the left-hand side, and as we got closer, it got huge.
Uh-huh.
And I reached over and shut the headlights off. There was no traffic on this. Was old Highway 6. And there was no traffic, and I just felt it was safe to do that. And I said, let's drive this way until you get close enough to it. I wanted to get out and look at it. And so, anyway, I turned off the headlights when we got pretty close to it, and she pulled up to off the side of the road there, and I got out of the car to look at it. Now, my first thought was, this is those big halogen lights, and they're doing night mining here.
Okay.
I'm trying to explain this with logic to myself.
Of course.
And, I got out of the car, and as I was standing there shielding my eyes looking at it, I couldn't see if there was anything solid in it or not. It was just too bright. And I guess out of nervousness or something, she turned the headlights on.
And it was red.
Well, it was a kind of a yellow-orange red. I really don't know how to describe the light. It was so bright.
The sun, as it's hitting the horizon, as you pointed out, that kind of reddish.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she turned the headlights on for some reason. And when she did, this thing just shot up in the air to the to my left, which would have been east, and connected with something else, like two blue neon tubular lights, one on top of the other with a space in between. And then it went across the sky out of sight. But before it did, my feeling now, after thinking about all this, this thing was ejected from it. Because had it broken off and fallen, logic tells me that it would have fallen straight down from a gravity pull, and it would have been miles from me.
Okay, well, you said the one craft disappeared into this other?
Yes.
All right. What makes you believe that this, did you see anything falling?
It was ejected because it came right back at me.
So you could see this thing as it came at you?
Yes, it was. I'm sure it was on fire because it was many, many different colors.
I was going to say, looking at the photograph of this,
yes.
Give me some scale. How big is this thing?
Well, now it's about 7.5 inches long.
Now?
Now. Because the Los Alamos cut about 2 inches off of the big end. And the New Mexico Tech, I cut an inch of that off the other end, the small end, myself.
Okay.
So
it's a slightly mutilated piece for science.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Looking at it, my understanding is it's been tested to be, the word was aluminum in the story,
right,
or largely aluminum. But,
right.
Just before we get to discussing that aspect of it, I'm looking at this, and it looks like this thing has been subjected to a lot of heat.
Well, they agreed on that.
They do, huh?
Yes.
I mean, it looks almost like the damn thing had been melting, or...
They agree on that.
They do.
Yes. They also agree that it is something that is not organic from anywhere on Earth or outside of Earth's atmosphere, that it's manufactured by intelligence.
But well, that's a gigantic claim. And not of Earth?
Only one scientist told me that, and then he later denied that he said it. I was very naive. When he told me that, he was very excited, and so was I.
Why do you think he would say it and then retract it?
I think the reason is because he didn't want publicity. And I didn't know that, and I called a newspaper reporter and told him in our small little community here in Springfield. He's a friend of mine, and I told him what the scientist said, and he called the scientist, who incidentally works for Los Alamos, and he denied he said it. Because the nearest I can figure out is he didn't want publicity.
Well,